a strong truth that God has just birthed in me this week. See, I'm always searching for a different way through the Spirit to see something to challenge people. If you turn with me to John the fourth chapter, and reading at verse 46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down. Like he didn't hear a word he said. The nobleman just kept talking. Sometimes that's the problem with us. God's talking and we just run right on through the stop sign there. But the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. The title I'd like to give for what I want to share with you this morning, and it's very important. I'm not just trying to throw a filler out here in any way, form, or fashion. I ministered along these lines Wednesday night, but what the Lord stirred in my heart has gone so far beyond even where we were Wednesday night. But I want you to write this down, how to stop identity thief. How to stop identity thief. I mean, you hear it every time you turn around. Someone can be behind you in a food mart or wherever. They say that they can pick up a number off a credit card. And anyone that has credit cards, you've probably had a call, is this an authentic charge? And the credit card companies are watching it closer than probably they have in the past. Maybe the stakes are higher than they have been in the past. More people are experiencing identity theft. And I wrote it down, and the Spirit of God checked me. I said, how to avoid identity theft. No, the Spirit of God wants us to go stronger than that, how to stop identity theft. I've said it. It's part of the teaching of this house, that until you know who you are and what you have in Christ, you'll never be as strong as you should be. Because there is not an understanding of your identity in the things of God. Now, I've been raised in a full gospel church. My father was Southern Baptist. My mother was a fire-breathing, full of the Holy Ghost, Pentecostal, Baptist plus. And her stamp took stronger than Dad's did when it came to the Word of God. My mother lived and breathed the Word of God. And both were born again, both were wonderful parents, and I thank God for them. But the thing about it is this, we let Satan steal our identity every day in some way. I didn't mean to say it like that, but I think I said it like God wanted me to say it. Every day there's some kind of slippage where in our thoughts, our words, or our deeds, we don't follow through with the identity of who we really are in Christ. See, the Bible says that when we're born again, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Where we are, where every one of us are as born again believers, we're in the becoming process. We're not becoming saved, but we're in the becoming process of becoming more like Jesus every day. We're in the becoming stage. You see what I mean? The miracle of the new birth has taken place. And our sins are forgiven. And yes, a born-again, spirit-filled believer can sin. I mean, boy, there's all kind of doctrine flying around. And I have some friends and we have some interesting conversations. But before I got saved, I was a sinner. I was a card-carrying sinner. And I used my card. And it just kept getting me in trouble that I didn't like. And I've had just a new thank you, Jesus, in my heart of thinking of one night that my whole life could have been snuffed out. And the grace of God spared Bob Nichols, a young man, rebel without a cause. Is that automobile at 97 miles an hour went out of control when I went to sleep at the wheel, 2:30 in the morning, coming in from East Texas. The grace of God. Oh, the grace of God. I can still hear the gravel ping. I can still hear when that thing went out of control off that curve. It not only rolled, it went in over. I mean, it was, they said, we haven't seen a car beat up like this because they had real metal in it. It was, it had real metal in it, 1951 Mercury. And they had steel in them back then. But God spared my life. And then God brought me in contact with knowing more about the things of God. And it was really Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. Mother kept slipping books into my suitcase when I was going off to Bible college. But it really became reality when Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin began to teach. His ministry crossed our life, teach us who we were in Christ, who we are in Christ, that we are new creations in Christ. And the righteousness of God in Christ is saved, but we can still sin. And I don't have time to go any further with that this morning, but I'm going to be working on it this year because I don't hear anybody else working on it in ministry. Every sin is not a heaven or hell sin. It is before you get born again, but once you're born again, every sin is not a heaven or hell sin. But I'll tell you what you do. You box yourself in for heaven or hell on this earth. On your way to either. Okay. But everything, you know, we'd be repenting 24/7 if the blood of Jesus and the grace of God didn't cover us. At least I would. I don't know about you, but I would. And we'd be so busy repenting, we wouldn't get anything else done. God wants you to enjoy the journey. And he wants us to stop letting Satan steal our identity of who we are in Christ. You say, what do you mean steal your identity? Well, that voice that comes and says you can't make it and you buy into that, or that pain in your body that you said, uh-oh, that's the big one. Or that thought that comes that of anything, of any nature, well, I'm going to fail. I'm going under. I'm going to lose my job. The future is, you know, it's just endless there. My brother, who has fought a strong faith battle, he and my sister-in-law against cancer in my youngest brother's body, and thank God the doctor said he was dying, and He told his doctor, we're both dying. In that sense, you know, every day you're getting closer to when you're going to leave. But he said, I'm not dying like you think I'm dying, because my trust and my faith is in God. And he's about a year and a half out from where the doctor said he couldn't make it. And I really appreciate that. But you see, we've got to let Satan stop us. We've got to stop Satan from stealing our identity. Who you are in Christ. Who you believe that you are in Christ. Who that you know you are in Christ. You know, a person that's just burdened down with condemnation and guilt, they're not going to be out winning souls. But you know, when you know who you are and what you have, you want somebody else to have the same thing. And you're sharing it. I got a story yesterday, and I believe I got straight of it. I know I did, because the person's relative, they have a relative. I came past the gospel mission there on the freeway. And some of the folks have moved back out there that were moved away. And I noticed a bunch of little tiny tents. You could just put about one person in that tent. And I thought, well, that, bless their hearts, that means the mission's full and they don't have any, there's no room, you know, in the mission. And a person of this church, they said, no, I have a sister there. And said, the reason they're out there in those tents is they won't abide by the rules of the house. You don't sleep there unless you abide by the rules. You can eat there, as I understand that, and I stand correction if I'm not accurate on anything that I'm saying, but that's the story that I got. My sister lives there, and she has told me point blank, there's a bunch of us that don't like the rules of the house, so they're outside freezing their head off in a little pup tent. I mean, I've never seen tents outside there before. And I thought, that's like some church people I know. They're staying at home and they're in little pup tents. They're not going to go to a church. Don't like the rules. Well, there's no rules around here except loving Jesus with all your heart and doing the works of God. And if that makes you uncomfortable, then there are rules, all right? Amen. Praise God. I mean, anybody could walk into this place as long as you got your clothes on. We'd love you. We'd get you saved. We'd get you delivered. We'll work with you. But you see, you know why they're outside? Because of their identity. No one's going to tell me what to do. And there are so many people in this world today like that. You know, there are rules for the road. And there, for the privilege of living in the greatest nation on the face of God's earth and driving automobiles and living in warm homes and having a bed to sleep in and food to eat, and, you know, there's some rules. But here's what I want to try to give you in the time that I have, and we'll just have to work on it later on. I'll go as far as I can go with it. But how to stop identity theft? How to stop Satan from stealing your identity? Believing in who you are. Believing in the fact that you can make it, that Jesus has already made it for you. Believing that life is worth living. Believing that the best is yet to come. That's your God identity. That's the finished work of Calvary. That's the finished work of the empty cross, where our Lord and Savior bled and died and gave His life that we might have life, have it more abundantly. John 10:10 said, the thief is come but for to steal kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now forget the weather outside. The Spirit of God's ministering right now. I mean, there's great attention here. But what I'm saying is, listen up, because there's a passport to victory here this morning. There's a blueprint to victory. There's a checkbook from the bank of heaven, and God's already signed it, given you a blank check. Hallelujah. But you've got to stop identity theft. Well, you ever hear this? We've all heard it. Oh, I'm just so unworthy. Well, in that sense of the word, we're all unworthy. So what's new? Outside of God, we're all unworthy. I think how stupid as a young man I was, you know, raised around the things of God, thought I was missing something in the world. Thought I was really missing something. Really missing something. Wasn't missing a thing. When I got involved in it, then I found out there's a paycheck to the world. Amen. There are fines to the world. There are disappointments. There are lonely nights. Could even be a night in a jail. That'll wake you up. Then you go to sleep at the wheel and you realize I was just that far from eternity. Tonight could have been it. That night could have been it for me. There wasn't any getting sick or having a wreck or something and then you're getting better, progressing a little better. It was live or die that night. But God's grace, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now see, this man comes to Jesus. His son is at the point of death. And I believe he's a good man. But he's got it made up in his mind. I want healing my way. I want my son healed my way. I want a miracle, but I want it my way. Jesus, come down, travel 45 miles, take time away from all these other people that could be healed and saved and blessed and delivered. Come to my house, heal my son. Well, thank God he wanted his son to live, and he loved his son. But Jesus said, I don't have to come to your house. But let me paraphrase a little bit. I don't have to come to your house for a miracle. Truth of it is, he lives in us anyway. I don't have to come to your house for an answer to prayer. You remember Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 8th verse said, the man said, speak the word only. You don't have to come to my house. Speak the word only. Speak the word. Now, for the sake of time, I want to just go right to three things that will help you to stop identity theft. First of all, hold on to your faith in God. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, be careful. There are those that have forsaken their faith and made shipwreck. Anytime you put your faith on the shelf, go your own way, it won't be long until you'll have a shipwreck too. Faith in God. Jesus said in Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. I know I've been identified. I wish I could be identified even stronger over the years. Well, you're one of those faith guys. Well, I don't know any other way to go. You're saved by faith. You're kept by faith. You're healed by faith. You overcome by faith. I don't know of any other way to do ministry than by faith. Ministry will kill you if you don't do it in faith. It'll wear you out. It just tear you up. Dealing with the inconsistencies of life and so many people and all this. Praise God. But have faith in God. No matter what you do, don't let anything steal your faith. Amen. Don't let anything steal your faith. Faith. Have faith in God. Now, let me clarify something here. Every born-again believer is given an automatic, with salvation, measure of faith. It is totally impossible for someone to say, I have no faith. You have faith, you're believing something, you're doing something, you're making some decision, right or wrong, by faith. Sinners are sinning by faith. They have more faith in the sin, hoping that it will bring to them. And the liquor industry is getting more bold every day. Life, life. There's no life in that can. There's no life in that bottle. Fulfilled. Full of, you know what. Faith. How do you stop identity thief? Realize your faith. Identify your faith. You have it. Identify with it. Just identify with the fact, I have faith. You have faith. Well, just pray the Lord will give us more faith. Well, the Word of God says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, I've heard that stuff before. You need to hear it until you know it better than the preacher. Faith in God, it's the foundation, who we are and what we are. The just, in fact, the Bible is so emphatic to say in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans 1, 17, Galatians 3, 11, and Hebrews 10, 38, the just shall live by faith. That's not a clichéism. What do you think keeps folks like Joe and Becky and John and Judy Hall traveling all over the world? Faith in God. Your body gets tired. Travel schedules, layovers in the airport, bad weather, all kinds, and every room's not the same. I was traveling somewhere years ago, and they said, C.M. Ward slept here. And I thought, man, he was crazy if he did. That wasn't a good place to spend the night, huh? Amen. Faith. So, you stop identity theft by just holding on to your faith. The just shall live by faith. But there's a step further, and I got into that Wednesday night. There is a faith that believes God. And that's where you amplify. See, Jesus spoke to this man. He said, let's go back to verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, besought him that he would come down. Well, he was trying to get Jesus. He didn't realize it, but he would have taken Jesus away from a lot of folks who needed help and healing and deliverance and so on. Come down and heal his son. He was at the point of death. Now listen to Jesus. Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now hold your finger right there, because there's a powerful truth. Even in religious circles, even in evangelical and even in charismatic circles, when I see it, I'll believe it. Is their doctrine. When I see it, I will believe it. No, Jesus said, no, you don't understand. You believe it, and then you see it. I hear wheels turning. I don't want to run away from that one too quickly. See, religious thinking and wrong thinking are not the best thinking. Says, when I see it, I'll believe it. None of this confession stuff for me. See it, name it, claim it, you know, and all that stuff. There are so many things in your life and my life, and I believe I have a new revelation that I'm sharing with you here this morning. Nothing new under the sun, but new to us at this point in our Christian walk. There are so many things, so much potential, so many answers to prayer, so many financial blessings that are already there, but you've got to believe. Believe activates your faith. That's what I'm trying to say. Your belief activates your faith. Yes, I have faith in God, but your belief releases your faith to go to work for you. I believe I'm getting closer to saying what I'm trying to say. But he said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus said, no, you didn't hear what I said. Go thy way. Come down, Jesus. No, go thy way. Do it my way, Jesus. Do it my way. Come down. Now, is that a terribly wrong? It's just a thought that Jesus refused to tie into. Jesus is trying to tell him how to get his miracle. You go your way in faith believing. You go your way in faith believing. Well, I'll do what God called me to do when I see it. No, no. Lord, do it my way. Where are you going? I'm going to your house. That's what I'm doing. I'm working on your house right now. My house. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way. Come down. No, no, son, you don't understand. Go your way. He came to Jesus saying, I'm not leaving here until Jesus goes with me to my house. But Jesus said, no, you don't understand, son. I'm on your side. I want you to have the miracle for your son. But I'm not going to your house. I want you to use your faith. Stir up your belief system. We're almost there. I'm making progress. Except you see signs and wonders. When I see it, I believe it. When I see it, I believe it. Every major move that I've had anything to do with in this ministry for 53 years, I saw it in the spirit and pursued it. It wasn't there yet. Now, Lord, if you'd just provide a little chapel here on West Berry Street and remodel it and get new pews in it and take an old warehouse post office building and get it up to speed and get it up, to a nice-looking building. I'll believe it, Lord. I'll receive that. No, he said, you just keep your faith on the line, faith believing. Put some sweat equity into that thing. Praise God. And it still stands today. I never will forget walking into First Baptist Church when we started our church that number of years ago. And I said, God, I'd give anything to see an auditorium like this for the full gospel, because there were maybe two or three somewhere in the States, but you didn't see many bigger or larger. Most church auditoriums seat about 200 people, something like that. And when the call came and the opportunity was extended, you see, I saw it before we possessed it. I saw it. Now, you say, do you have perfect faith? No, but I'm working on it. And I'm working on you this morning, too, because I need your help. We need to see some mountains move around here. Lord, if you'll just come to my house, you'll heal my son. Well, I want to heal your son, but you're missing something. Except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. The nobleman just goes right in and says, sir, come down, my child. He's about to die. Jesus said, go thy way. Go thy way in faith believing. Go thy way. Well, excuse me, just the Son of God said that. You know, that's not another pastor that said that. That's the Son. Excuse me, that's just Jesus said that. Go thy way. Thy son liveth. Now he's got a decision. Is it bait and switch here? What's happening? You know, so many times automobile dealerships used to that advertise, we have, you know, 8 of this or 6 of that or 10 of whatever at some ridiculous price. And you go in and, oh, I'm sorry, we just sold the last one. Bait and switch. Bait and switch. God's not a bait and switch God. But he is a faith God, and he responds to faith believing. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And a light turned on in his spirit. He said, ah. His brother Greg Moore said, oh, that's the way it works. Oh, he doesn't have to go with me to my house for my son to be healed. All I have to do is go in faith believing. And the man, listen to me. Some of you right there, right now. And the man believed the word. He said, you're right, Jesus. What do you know? He's right. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. I don't know why I keep going in circles here, because I'm going to catch some of you on the next circle now here. I pick up a few every time I just go back to the same basics here. I won't believe until I see. Won't believe it until I feel it. Won't believe it until it's in my garage, or won't believe it until it all comes to. Just, no. You got to believe it, and then you see it. Hallelujah. You got to believe. And the man believed. Oh, God. I've just been camped on this. And the man believed. And the pastor believed. And Bob Nichols believed. Wow! It's coming to pass. It's more important than chicken dinner. This is more important than beating the Baptist down to Luby's. This is more important. All God's saying is, only believe. And the man believed. Oh, that's the way it works. Oh, okay. He believed the words that Jesus had spoken unto him. You say, well, I guess so if Jesus told me. He didn't have the printed page. When that on his way home, he said, what you got in your hand? Do you have a contract from that Jesus? No. All I have is his word. All I have is his word. You mean you didn't have a signed contract before you left? No, all I have is his word. But that's all you need, his word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Never have there been more crazy words in the world and in politics and in the news media. And words, words, words. But there's only one word you can bank on, and it's the word of God. It's God's word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word's not going to pass away. And as he was gone down, then the servants ran out and met him and said, "Your son liveth." What do you know? The word of Jesus worked. Great revelation. The word of Jesus worked. It doesn't always work that quickly. But you see, we get back into our religious thing. Well, when I see it, I'll believe it. But the word of God is said over and over again, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. And when you pray in faith believing, just speak to that mountain, command it what to do. I mean, the word's full of it. The Gospels especially are full of it, of telling you that nothing's impossible with God. Oh, mercy, I've got to give you one more point here. All right, how to stop identity theft, Satan trying to bait and switch and get you on a downer and discouraged and bummed out and nothing's going to, you know. All right, your faith in God. Hold to your faith in God. Number two, faith believing. Your belief activates your faith. Your belief activates your faith. I don't have any more time to work on that, I guess, right now. But there's a third thing that God wants us to remember as we're going into this new year. Faith, belief, and praise. God spoke to me and said, "Tell my people they're running short on praise." You know, we were magnifying the name. You know, a lot of people don't realize gospel singing is not just words. You know, I prayed for something and he gave me a raindrop, you know. But do you ever notice that when you're singing a song that has faith, someone of our audience, they said, "Pastor, I've noticed something. When you really get into something, you sing songs that generate faith, that stir up faith." We don't need ditties. We need songs of praise and faith. When you get on a trail, "Great is thy faithfulness." My Lord, how can you lose on that? "Amazing grace." How can? And I know there are other great songs too. But with some, it's just the beat. Some people don't realize all they're doing is bopping out to a beat. And they're listening to a gospel station. They're just bopping out to a beat. You need more than a beat. You need words. Faith words. Faith words. It's more than... I love musical instruments. That's why we have some very fine musical instruments in this church. I love music. I love gospel music. I love to hear instruments play. But you got to have more than that. You got to add some word to that, see? Word. 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 And here's the thing that God's word said in Psalms 34 and 1, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing how much time we waste in a car or waiting in line or waiting in an airport or waiting somewhere when we could be praising the Lord. Our mind just going like a shutter on a camera, you know. How much time do we waste when we really could be praising the Lord? Well, that's fanaticism. Well, excuse me. Fanatics have an amazing track record of receiving from God. And you know, when the doctor thumps you on the chest and says you have 6 months to live, you look for a fanatic. You don't look for a Christian that prays, "Now lay me down to sleep." You don't pray for a Christian. Now, Lord, if it be thy will. You know.
The will, nothing, man. The doctor said I got six months to live. Pray, man. Pray loud. Pray a long prayer, a loud prayer. Pound the whatever. Make some noise. Get God's attention. You look for a fanatic.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 71:8 said, let my mouth be filled with thy praise. Ooh, ooh. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. Hallelujah. You know, a title of Psalms 1 is a psalm of praise. A whole little psalm of praise. Psalms 107, four times, oh, that men would praise the Lord. You women too. Psalms 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now I want you to write this down. First, we pray in faith, believing. Pray in faith, believing, according to God's word. First, we pray in faith, believing, according to God's word. Then, we praise our way through to victory. Oh, you were too busy writing to shout. All right, let's try that again here now. Pray in faith, believing, according to God's word. Then praise your way through to victory. In this year to come, we're going to praise. You know, we used to say at the old timers, pray through. And then we got so sophisticated, we thought we'd drop that for a while. Now I hear faith folks coming back to praying through. That means you pray until the Holy Ghost turns you inside out. Then keep on confessing. But I mean, there are prayers. I like what Dr. John R. Rice wrote in his book on prayer and praise. He said, you know, prayer is asking. The answer to prayer is receiving. So, I'm on the last point, so praise the Lord. Write it down now. Pray in faith, believing, according to God's word. Prayers must be scriptural to come to pass. Then, praise through to victory. We're going to make a project this year of praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Don't patty cake. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do I have a physician in the house? A musician in the house? A music maker in the house? Glory to God. Well, it's time to praise the Lord. We pray in faith, believing, and now we're going to praise our way through to victory.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. The praise starts right now. New Year praise starts right now. Really? Come on now. I'm talking to you. This is a way to get out of here. Praise the Lord. Time to praise the Lord.